The LA Play, Season 1, Episode 6, An Inside Job. She kept getting promoted at the bank, even though she did not enjoy the job. She hadn't grown to hate it yet, but she was slowly getting there. The dread of waking up every morning dressing like she did something more important than count dirty money. Her mother had been so pleased when she got this job, because it was a clean job, she said. You're inside, sitting down. People will smile at you when they see you. She just hoped her streak of luck held up for a while longer, with no stick-ups, no customers being ordered to get down on the floor and hand over their jewels. Those were the details of the previous 3 hold-ups, revealed to her by traumatized customers and tellers who were there. TGIF became more and more urgent, complete with a new vocabulary acquired while choosing which drinks would quickly make her feel more creative, funny, and like a thinking being again, not just someone who counts endlessly. Really, they should just make a machine to do all this, she thought many times. How complicated would it be to write instructions for deposit or withdraw? And then flip through bills quickly, even straightening them to all face in one direction, and dispense the funds. But this was 1979, and the closest you got to a money machine was the driveway window, where customers placed their transaction into a supersonic tube that was delivered to the teller via a mysterious air tunnel pipe. And although she had no ambitions to climb the bank manager ladder, they kept promoting her. Maybe because she was efficient, balanced most nights, and didn't get too chatty with her customers, although several had already asked her out. But she wanted to leave as fast as she could, especially on Fridays. Within 3 months, she was promoted to vault teller. Ms. Smiley, the long-lashed manager, instructed her in the proper protocol for handling thick stacks of 20s and 100s, which had to be distributed every morning to the other tellers, and then counted again every night after merchant drops. There were always to be 2 tellers in the vault, and it remained locked at all times, even when they were counting out in the evening. At first, she did the final count-out with the hyper-assistant manager, and perhaps influenced by her tempo, she got pretty fast at calculating bundles of thousands of dollars. It was like handling pieces of newspaper to her. She really didn't even think of it as money, because it wasn't hers. Although, one time, when she was counting stacks of Thomas Cook traveler's checks, she thought about how this little booklet of paper currency could take her around the world and back. But mostly, money remained abstract to her, even though she handled it as matter daily. Gradually, another teller was promoted to learn the vault duties. And then, every Friday, Allison, the Charlie's Angels gal who most resembled Jacqueline Smith and she knew it, joined her as they entered the vault, which was nothing more than a back room in the trailer building with an extra padlock, to do the weekly inventory as fast as possible and hoping to balance so they wouldn't have to recount. Allison would shuffle in with her stiletto candies, usually with a large plastic cup filled with tab, or at least that's what she said was in there, and sit up in front, ready to count the bundles, while Zosha went to the back to haul out stacks of $100 bills. Allison had a peculiar ritual whenever she settled in. It involved not just the ever-replenished soda cup, but also adjusting her underwire bra. Her breasts were her showpiece, although Zosha was shocked to find out that they weren't actually any bigger than her own when she saw her in a bikini that summer. But for work, they were well-placed, well-uplifted, and filled with something to create a pleasing illusion, if only for her. She frequently fussed with them, especially when she was nervous, and Zosha noticed that she was especially attendant to her cleavage that Friday afternoon. Well, maybe she's doing a test run for her boyfriend, Zosha thought as she rolled her eyes and disappeared back into the stacks of money. But that Friday, they were off. They were off by a mysterious and even amount of $3,000. Sasha was a bit upset, if only because it meant they had to recount, and then they had to pull in a third person to recount again. But negative $3,000, the balance sheet kept reading. Well, usually these errors were found by Monday morning. Transcribing numbers, a neglected packet not counted, a mistake on the deposit slips, but nothing. And by Tuesday, Miss Smiley was speaking to both Zasha and Allison privately, with words to be more careful and to remind them that thankfully they were insured by bonds. Sasha still didn't think too much about it, not caring about the job and not being particularly thrilled to be around other people's money all day and not wanting to be any more careful than she was forced to be already. Except she accepted a ride home from Allison the following week. It was usually a crazy ride with her in a big old El Dorado clunker that she weaved in and out of traffic without using her signals. But this time, Allison pulled up in a brand new Nova, laughing and waving her can of tab from the window while leaning over to show her carefully sculpted bosom and explaining, "See what I got? A new car!"